Carrying on, we have a man here. He's a missionary. He's from Macedonia, but he's a church planter slash missionary in Croatia. His name is Slave. For those of you that were here on Wednesday night, he spoke a little. And this gentleman has spoken before here. You may recognize him, but I've spent a little time around this man, and he's just flesh and blood, but the Holy Spirit usually, every time he speaks, speaks into my life, and I just want to share that experience with you. So, Slave, if you're around, why don't you come up to the pulpit, and why don't you welcome Slave? He's just going to share with us for a brief minute what the Lord's put on his heart.
Good morning. Lights. It is good to be here back. It is always joy when I come here. And it's special good to see that men are willing to change the nation that they live in. You know that the world is going crazy, but we have a God who knows what he's doing, and we belong to him. You know, God has been always calling young men and old men, and he has been calling to use them. Daniel was one of them. He was called. He didn't have a military experience. He was just an ordinary man who loved his Lord. But because he was serving God, he was called to go to Babylon. When he arrived in Babylon, the king was trying to reprogram Daniel. That's why in the first chapter we read that he immediately to Daniel and his friends, the king gave them a new names. And not only that, he tried to expose them to the pleasures of Babylon, that they are going to be sucked into a new life and a new style of life. If we are walking with the Lord, the devil is trying to reprogram our minds to not be anymore a man. Perhaps we could become a female. And God have created men to lead, but the devil is trying to reprogram our mind to not lead, but we have to be led. And Daniel knew that. And first what he did, it's written in the Bible, Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel made decision within himself. Daniel signed an agreement with his own heart. I'm not going to defile my heart. The way how we fight evil is when we kneel down before we go to work on our knees and said, Lord, I'm making decision today. I'm not going to defile my heart. Are we doing this every single day? Or we are so holy, yeah. We are so holy, we are so spiritual that we don't have to do this. You know, brother, within your heart and my heart, there is evil. There is evil. Malcolm Muggeridge is saying how he went one day to the river, and in the morning, because he was unbeliever, he was swimming, and he saw a lady entering naked into the river, and he said, I have a chance to have a sex. And he started running and swimming toward her. And when he approached her, he said, I was astonished. I was surprised. There was that lady. I interrupted her privacy. She was covering her body with her hands. And I said to my mind, what an ugly woman. She was a leper. And I was almost trying to say to her, what an ugly woman. But before I said, what an ugly woman, there was a nice voice speaking to me. Don't say that. Say, what an ugly heart you have. Within you and me, there is an ugly heart, like a magnet is looking for evil. But God has given us a new heart. But which heart we are feeding every day? The old heart or the new heart? We have to be careful to not fall down. And Daniel drew the line, and Daniel said, I'm not gonna let evil to enter my heart. You know, G.K. Chesterton says, before you remove any fence that your fathers have built, ask first why this fence was built here. We are moving all the fences that our fathers have put, but Daniel didn't remove them. Today, we brought the world into our Christian world, into our Christian life. And do you know what we are doing? We are creating spirituality instead to live in spirituality. We brought the world and we are creating spirituality and holiness instead that we could allow the Holy God to live within us and through us. Daniel was exposed to enjoy the pleasures of the world in Babylon. But Daniel stopped and said, I cannot eat that food. Not because maybe it was not good and it was sinful. But Daniel said, my fathers, they built a fence and they taught me which food I have to eat. But Daniel, you know, you are living now in a different world and this world is nice. And don't be old-fashioned. Don't be old-fashioned. Remove this fence. Enjoy life. And Daniel said, no. No. Brothers, the devil is trying to recreate, reprogram our mind that we could enjoy the pleasures of this world. And then we are left empty when we are forgetting that there is a pleasure to serve our God. The true pleasure comes that glorifies God. The false pleasure is a pleasure that is destroying your spiritual life. And you know, I'm going to end it. The true pleasure is the pleasure that you always first pay and then you enjoy. The false pleasure is always, you enjoy, don't worry, you have a credit card, you could pay later. And then depression comes, problem comes into our lives. And our families are left without fathers, single parents raising our children. You and I are called by God to never forget that we are the leaders of our family. Don't be reprogrammed that you have to be led. Draw the line. Step for your God and say, God, I'm not going to allow my name to be changed because my name is written in the book of life. You know, this book is all what you and I, we need. Amen. Thank you for letting me share with you.
Thank you, Brother Slavi. Every time he shares, it's always something profound. Did you hear what he said? Is the good pleasures. God has good pleasures for us to enjoy. You'll find the trend. First you pay. Then you enjoy those good pleasures. But the ungodly pleasures, first you enjoy, and then you're really going to pay. Good. Just think about it. Just think about it. All right, gentlemen, I want you guys, if you guys don't have a Bible, I want you to break out your Bibles right now. I'm going to invite Pastor Terry Willis to the pulpit. He's going to be teaching this morning. Why don't you welcome him?
Good morning. I guess anytime you meet someone, you get a little background. Is that okay for our sound? I was born in Detroit. All right. Life offered me some temptations that I didn't ask for. What's in your life right now, you didn't ask for it. Life doesn't come packaged the way we want it to be packaged. I'm sorry. Why does God do that? You need to find Him merciful, truthful, and faithful in the midst of what you're facing as men. When I was 5 years old, my father was killed. Wrong place, wrong time. He was just using the restroom. Some guys tried to rob him. Every man carried a pocket knife. My father pulls out his pocket knife. Guys, I got children. I work two jobs. I have no money. Doesn't matter. The man pulled the trigger and shot him. My mom had a nervous breakdown. So basically, I had to be raised with my grandmother and grandfather. They already raised their five kids, and my mom was the oldest. So now I'm in her home. My grandfather, he's the president of the block club. He's in charge of the usher boards at a Baptist church. I had a community center named after him. one night, he said to my grandmother, "Excuse me, honey, can you do something for me? Can you go give me some water?" She went, "Absolutely." They've been married, I guess, 50-some years. She goes into the kitchen. As she's coming back, she runs into the room. He has a shotgun under his neck. And as she's trying to run in there, the blast goes off. That night, she got her face burned, and one of the pellets took her eye. My grandfather, what was the remainder of him, it was devastating. It was all over the ceiling. I heard the blast came in their room, and I saw it. Immediately, my heart went out. I didn't ask for that, but it was on my doorstep. I didn't know God was going to use that later on for something else. Coming home from school one day after that, we saw this lady staggering drunk, just falling down, and the kids, it's in elementary school, and everyone's laughing at her. As we get closer, my sister realizes who it is, and she runs home. It's our mom, because she couldn't cope, losing her husband, now losing her father. That was my environment growing up. That was the temptation that faced me, and I couldn't change it. But as a little boy, I was praying something. God, you be greater. And I determine now that in any temptation, you have to find God faithful, merciful, and truthful because he is. If you turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when you say it, say amen. If you haven't noticed, I'm black. Okay? If y'all haven't, we'll talk about it later. You can say, I'm colorblind. I'm still black. Okay? I like to hear amen. So when you find it, say amen. That way I know you got your Bible open and you're looking with me. Amen. Thank you. I like to have communication back and forth. All right. It says, everyone's there? Got it? If you got your Bible? No temptation has taken you, the man of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there? No temptation has taken you, man of God, except such is common to man. Again, I'm going to say man of God. But God is faithful, who will not allow you, man of God, to be tempted beyond that you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you, as a man of God, I know I'm adding that in there, and you'll see why later, may be able to bear it. Therefore, beloved, man of God, flee idolatry. Anything in our lives that comes in our lives, it's that new Goliath, that new problem, that new temptation is insurmountable. You can't get by it. It's not going to happen. Those are the things we face as men. And I don't know if it's financial. You know, the situation of finding a wife, the situation of having a wife, or wanting children, or not having children, wanting that job, wanting that vacation. There's something there screaming in us, telling us, thumping us in our chest. You're a coward. It's not going to happen. And that temptation is there. What do you do in that temptation? We're going to read about a man, and he's just not any man. He's the man of mans. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. His name is Jesus. You have heard of him, right? Okay. I'm just checking. We're going to be looking at three things today. Men of God, they don't break down. Men of God, they don't bounce down. And men of God, they don't bow down. On that note, let's pray. Father, we come before you in Christ's name. We want you to be God in our midst. Not the God that we choose, not the way we want you to be, but the way you are in heaven. Father, you brought different situations in our lives to make us men. Men that find that you're faithful, merciful, and truthful. Father, we can only find that with a test. We need a temptation or something there so we can have a testimony that you're greater. Father, be with us today as we dare to look at your word. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to turn just a few places today, but again, I'm going to look back at the scripture. Can we look at Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1? Say amen when you find it. If you don't say amen, I believe you haven't found it. Okay? We're familiar with this story. Jesus and the temptations. It's also covered in Luke. But for today, we're going to look at this version of it. Then, everyone there? I don't want you to believe this is my word because we're looking at his word. My words will just mess everything up. God's word will get you saved, get you filled with the Spirit, and get you past temptations. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. I would too. 4 days, 4 hours, I'm hungry. Anyway, now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, hey, Satan, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil wasn't done yet, and he's not done with you either. The devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him again for a season, and angels came and ministered to him. The temptation is not new. If you're born in the earth, you're going to be tempted. Right now, you know what your temptations are. We know our thresholds. You know what's there saying, come this way, do this, do that, cheat. We look at Ananias and Sapphira. They had a temptation, again, to cheat on what they were supposedly giving to the Lord, giving the whole amount of something. Both of them had an opportunity to repent when they were talking to Peter. Neither one of them did. The first temptation we see, if you turn there in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 in your Bibles. A few more scriptures, but we're going to get into this today. I just want to set it up. You know why sometimes we're tempted? Because the area in our life is still weak. The area in our life is still weak. We've been there before. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, and the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, he went to the woman, the weaker of the two, right? He'll always attack you in your weakness. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So in doubt. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God's just testing you. That's not true. For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That sounds good. Every temptation makes a promise. So when the woman saw that the tree, listen to these things. There's three things that are going to happen here. The tree was good for food. One, it was pleasant. God bless you. It was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. It would make you intelligent. It would give you wisdom from God how to walk with him or be like him. She took of its fruit, ate, and she gave also to her husband and he ate. Usually when we go into temptation, we take someone else with us. When Satan was tempted to be like God, he took one third of the angels with him. Men. When you're tempted, you take your family with you. You take your wife. You take your children. You walk down a road. You wouldn't walk in a gun battle with your children. You wouldn't. Why do you live a day without praying? Why do you live a day without getting in God's word? Again, that's what's going to help you with your temptation, and that's also what will help them. Let's go back to Matthew, and we're going to look at that. Men of God, they don't break down. We've all had things that break us down before, right? We've been there. Something happens and you're not ready for it and it breaks you down. Verse 1 again. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit of God led him. The reason God led him was so he would find that God, in the midst of temptation, that God was still faithful. It doesn't matter how big the temptation is, God is greater. It doesn't matter how big your problem is, God's promises are greater. It doesn't matter what the crisis is, Christ is greater. It doesn't matter what the situation is, the Savior is greater. You don't need to turn here, but just listen. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself, Jesus, has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Who are tempted. He can aid those. I want someone that has went through it. If I could play basketball with you, you're good, but if I could play basketball with Michael Jordan, and he could teach me a few things, I'm sorry, I would drop you like a hot potato. You would do the same with me. Come on, let's be honest. If we can hang with Jesus, but he overcame every temptation, and we could be like him, we would do well. Another scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. You don't need to turn there either. Stay in Matthew, please. For we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. When it comes to temptation, Jesus should be your hero. Where do you get your courage from? It's not a trick question. Where do you get your courage from? That was weak. My brother knew. We get it from Jesus, right? Where do you get your discouragement from? Satan. He hasn't done anything good for you. Why are you going to listen to him? Right? I'm going to go to the one that's going to give me encouragement, and I'll get my discouragement from there. God discourages me to sin. I'll give you an acronym for sin. It's S-I-N. I know what you're saying, Terry. You can spell. It means selfishness in nature. Sin is selfishness in nature. You should write that down. The other thing that is, it leads to separation in nature. Separation in nature. I don't want to be selfish in nature because I'm not walking with God at that point. It's all about me. And that's why Satan gets us. And then if I do it on the other side, I'll be separate in nature. I know I'm his. When I come in the kingdom, I've given my life to Christ. But there's things in my life that may not reflect him. So going back to Matthew chapter 2. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Everything is set up for Satan to tempt Jesus. But Jesus is going to find his Father faithful, merciful, and truthful. Does anyone remember how long Goliath tempted Israel? Anyone? How much? 40 days. 40 days Goliath was out there. Come on, who's your best man? He fights me, I fight him. Who wins instead of a lot of bloodshed? Let's do this diplomatically. For 40 days. Have you had anything in your life messing with you for 40 days? Come on, 40 years, some of us, right? Been gnawing at us. I got kids, dear Lord. 4 hours can be a lot. And I got 8 of them. So it goes up. For 40 days, Goliath's name means splendor. The splendor of the Philistines was taunting him. I mean, if it was a little bitty guy, if there was a little guy about this big, and he's like, hey, come on, listen, I'm going to take you out. He'd be like, that would be a little, but he was 9 feet tall. This was incredible temptation. For 40 days, he tempted Israel. And the conclusion of it was, we're having technical difficulties, hold on. All right. The conclusion of it was, there was somebody there that wasn't being tempted by him for 40 days. Who was that? There was someone not there. David's brothers, thank you. David's brothers were there. Saul was there. Jonathan was there, dealing with it for 40 days. David was back on the pastures fellowshipping with God. If you're going to deal with temptations, you need to spend time with God. They're coming. They're knocking on your doorstep. You have ones you've been dealing with. There's some waiting for you at home. What are you going to do? We need to be like David. Verse 3, going back to Matthew. When the tempter came, he said unto him, if you are the Son of God. How about this if I put it to you? If you are a man of God. If you are a man of God, command these stones to be made bread. Turn stones into bread. The first temptation is to break down. Break down. Turn the stones into bread. Live for your appetites. Guys, there's nothing wrong with liking a girl. There's nothing wrong being with a girl, as long as she's your wife. Right? Nothing wrong with that. What God wants, the desires we have to be under his jurisdiction, under his government. If they're not, it's not glorifying God. So Satan will get us in there, a real desire. Hunger is a real desire, but let God govern that desire. What did Jesus do when that came to him? If you are the Son of Man, command these stones to be made bread, verse 4. And then Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, I'm going to live by God's dictates. Why did Jesus need to pray? He knew what his calling was, but yet he would pray to say, God, how do you want me to do it? The message and the manner need to be twins. Does that make sense? If my kid says, Daddy, I'll do it right now and be glad I did it. And I just did it, Dad. Now, that wouldn't happen in my household. My kids would be, oh, Dad, don't shock me. The message, I got it done, but the attitude was wrong. The reason Jesus, he did the message and his manner was always right because he prayed. So even in this, what he just said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to know what God has said. You got to spend time in God's word. It's incredible, as we'll see, that Jesus reacted to Satan's temptations out of one book. That book was Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is called the second law. Is the second law. What does that mean? Before they go into the promised land, 40 years they were in the wilderness, right? They forgot what Moses had said. They had to be circumcised again, but they had to go over God's law one more time that they would be successful with the temptations in the promised land. They had a first temptation. How do we get past the Jordan River? Huge temptation. Insurmountable in their own power, but not in God's. Once they got over, now they have a fortified city called Jericho. How do you get past this city? How do we get past their gates, their walls? Well, God's going to do it. But if you spend time with him, and we know the story, Joshua got a chance to spend time with Christ. He found out the Lord of hosts, he was with him, not Joshua. Again, when we come to Jesus, it's not, Jesus, are you with me? And Jesus is like, wait a minute, this is my kingdom. You're in my name. Are you with me? Joshua was with Jesus. That's why Joshua went in. And that's how we go in too. In Deuteronomy, if I can read it, just listen, you don't need to turn there, because I want us to stay in Matthew. It says, of that same scripture, says, so he humbled you, Israel, or men of God, allowed you to suffer hunger, to have a need in your life, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. No one knew where this thing came from. That he might make you know, because you didn't know this, might make you know that this will be knowledge that you work with after this, that man does not live by bread alone. You do not live just by satisfying your appetites. God's given us appetites, right? But we just don't live by them. It says we should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. We need to be men of God, but we need to be men of God's word. And we need to handle his word well. So the first temptation, again, was to break down. Men of God, they don't break down. Men of God, they don't bounce down. I served as a chaplain with the police department for 5 years in a SWAT team. It was always interesting. We would be out on the SWAT course. I would mess with those guys. I said, y'all are the bravest SWAT team in the world. They said, why, Terry? I said, there's a black man behind you from Detroit with a loaded AR, full clip, and you just turned your back on him. I'm just saying, I wouldn't. And they would say, Terry. Then they would break me down. I mean, some of the guys here did that. I came up to the sound booth one time, and I was like, oh, and I said, this is Terry. You ain't nothing but a big teddy bear. Stop it. We know your background, but you love us. So the SWAT guy, they said, Terry, who loves us more out here than you? Nobody. Who prays for us more out here than you? Nobody. So my threats didn't hold up. But nevertheless, there was a black man with a loaded AR behind him. From Detroit. Thank you. That would have scared me. So the second one is men of God, they don't bounce down. Verse 5, then the devil took him up to the holy city, Jerusalem. The term Jerusalem, if I can just share what it means. In the Hebrew, it means city of peace. We know that, but it actually means teaching of peace. From that point, God would teach his people how to have peace with him. Remember, salvation is not our effort towards God. Salvation is God's effort towards us, right? So God was teaching Israel. When he brought them out of Egypt, he says, let my people go, Pharaoh, that my people may serve me, or better yet, I may teach them how to serve me and worship me, right? The three feasts are very important. The first one was Passover. I can get you out. Then the next one was the Feast of Pentecost. I can give you instructions how to live with me. Because again, 50 days after they got the law. Then after that, it was 40 years, he said, guess what? I can keep you as you walk in your tents. I can keep you day by day for 40 years and take care of all your needs. Same thing in the New Testament. Jesus, he got us out of sin because he died on the cross. Amen? 50 days after, instead of getting the written law, we got the Holy Spirit on the inside. We got that internal guidance system. So guys, you kind of have no excuse now. Because God, you have the Word of God in you. You have the, if I can say that, you have the Spirit of God in you. He can lead and guide you if you just ask. No one in the New Testament had a copy of the Bible like we have today. Nobody. Paul never said, open your Bibles. Never. Jesus never said open your Bibles. There's two times in the Bible we see actually the Word of God in the New Testament open. Jesus was reading Isaiah chapter 61. And again, I'm just messing. There was a black man with spinning hubcaps on his chariot. He was in charge of finances. He's the only one that had a copy of the Word of God outside the temple, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? He's the only one. I believe we need to have God's Word, but let's realize what happened in the New Testament. They didn't have it as good as we have it. So we should do more. I'm just saying. Don't get mad at me. If I'm stepping on your toes, pull your toes in. But I'm going to step. We need to make sure we're reading God's Word and also obeying it. So again, the devil came to him, took him up on the temple and the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, or if you are a man of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's talking here, Psalms 91, 11 and 12. That sounds real good. Can you imagine that? I'm not scared of heights. I'm really not. But I will not stand near an edge of something and just kind of look down. I think that's crazy. Even when I had to go, I've done rappelling, you know, Aussie style, going down this way and the other way. That's crazy. I won't do that for recreation. I did it once. I'm good. What did Jesus say to this temptation to bounce down? Jesus said to him, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Masah. That word Masah means bitterness. When you didn't have water because you didn't have, my throat is parched. You need to satisfy me. They came and they said, can God provide water? I mean, it's kind of a tempting, kind of thumping God in the chest. That was wrong. But again, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The other one was Deuteronomy chapter 8. So we looked at, again, men of God, they don't break down. Men of God, they don't bounce down. Men of God, they don't bow down. Again, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. Satan will always show you what's out of your reach. Always. To make you desire. I want that. Man, if I could just get that. The other temptation, just to go back a little bit, it was religious. If you dare to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, they'll know you are the man. You're the high priest of high priests. This one's a little different. This is the world. Verse 9. This is what Satan says to him. All these things, the kingdom of this world, I will give to you, man of God, if you will fall down and worship me. If you bow down to me, under my authority, I'll give you everything. Basically, he's saying, I will make you a king of kings. Not the king of kings, a king of kings. Does that make sense? But Jesus is the king of kings, not a king of kings. Does that make sense? Not a king under a king. And that's what Satan wants us to do. I'm sorry, I'm not going that route. Verse 10 is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. You shall fear the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In other words, you shall worship him. And you shall take oaths in his name. Satan's a coward. He wants us to be like him. Why? Satan turns the stones into bread. He did. Again, Satan bounced down. He wanted to show that he was the most religious one in heaven. He was in charge of worship. And then Satan wanted all power like God. So he wants to make you like himself. I want you to follow me. Follow me as I followed and I walked away from God. That's what he's trying to say. We don't go that route. Then the devil left him for a season. Can you turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, please? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. When you find it, say amen. Amen. Growing up in Detroit, As a little boy, I prayed this prayer. God, I want to tell the world about you. I don't want it to reflect my upbringing. Amen. We're still here. Still your page is turning. And some of y'all know some of my background. That prayer that God heard, I remember looking at a globe and saying, God, I want to tell the world about you. And I'll talk about your son when I was about 6 years old. I was scared to love. Again, I'm not going to cry on that, but I was scared at that time. I felt that it was because of my love for my father that my father went away. Then I loved my grandfather because everything was pushed to him. He was the father figure in my life. And then he went away. There was a time in my life when I was about 6, 7, maybe even to 8, maybe even 9 years old, maybe. I was scared to love God because, and I gave my life to Christ, but I was scared to really love him and depend on him because I scared my love, you know, something would happen to him. I know it's crazy, but that's what I felt at that time. But God was gracious. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4 says, which had the golden censer, we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, the golden censer, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with this all sides with gold, in which inside of it was the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. It's important that we talk about those three, and I'll tell you why. Those three things represent who Christ is, and it represents the temptation we're talking about just now. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. First, again, there was the law of God, right? The Ten Commandments. The law of God represents a king. Because again, you have to have law to establish a kingdom. Then there was inside of there the manna. The manna represents the life of God. Because that manna never turned. Remember, if you kept manna for 2 days, it would spoil. That manna was still intact. And if it's true, they've never found the Ark of the Covenant. If we were open the Ark of the Covenant right now, that manna still would be fresh. After thousands of years. And there was one more thing in there. It was Aaron's rod that budded. So the Ten Commandments represents the law of God. The manna represents the life of God. Aaron's rod that's budded represents the leadership of God. Isn't that Jesus in those forms? He is the life of God that we need to follow. He is the law of God that we need to follow. He is the leader, excuse me, of God that we need to follow. So what do we look at today? Men of God, they don't break down. The tempter brought temptation. He wanted to bring Jesus, first of all, in a false and a wrong work. Again, that's called the lust of the flesh if we were to read 1 John. The temptation was this, to break down and to become the manna maker, the sustainer, the savior, the provider, the redeemer of his own soul as well as the Jewish and the Gentile world. But how did Jesus respond to that first temptation? He responded to the temptation with the word of God as we read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. This was a temptation from Satan to deceive Christ to be the prophet of prophets without God's spirit feeding him and leading him. Kind of like the manna in the Ark of the Covenant. Satan wants you to be his prophet, not God's prophet. He doesn't want you to bring things from God to the people because that's what a prophet does. And the prophet is the only one that was anointed that could do miracles, right? Those are the three people that were anointed in the Bible, the prophet, the priest, and the king. The second temptation that Satan brought, men of God, they don't bounce down. This is our way to deal with it because we're watching Jesus' example. The temptation to bounce down into a false and a wrong witness. This would be the pride of life, taking it from 1 John. Is the temptation that Satan brought and tempted Jesus to bounce down and become the high priest, the mediator, the miracle in himself, the anointed one, the Christ to the Jewish and the Gentile world. How did Christ respond? He says, you know what? I'm not going to be high priest on your terms. I'm going to be high priest on God's terms. Is Satan trying to do that to you? There's false ideas of what spirituality is. Man, I go to Calvary, and man, if I can just do this, and then everyone will know how spiritual I am. Everything Jesus was, he was in private what he needed to be. If you're going to be that one that walks by again, letting God lease your appetites, it needs to be in private, that you know God's voice. If you're going to be, again, that high priest, you need to be in that in private, not in public yet. And I'll get to that. The last one, men of God, they don't bow down. This was a temptation to bow down into a false and a wrong worship. That would be the lust of the eyes. It's a temptation that Jesus said, if you bow down and become, to me, become king of kings, I'll make you king under me. You need to be king. You need to be Caesar. We have these incredible ideas of what God can make us. And I don't know about you, that temptation is scary. I was in the entertainment world and kind of the Christian, but I worked on 25 feature films. Last film I worked on was The Book of Eli, the first Transformers, Terminator 4. I'm leaving some out. 310 in Yuma, but about 25 features. I've been to 39 countries, every state in the United States except Alaska. Most of the preachers you see on TV, I can go and call them up. I know Joel Osteen personally. I went to his father's church and a lot of those people on TV, but whoop-de-doo. The thing that has grown me up more than anything has been the Word of God. Never get caught up in pride. Always get caught up in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus tells us really how to deal with temptations. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. If anyone loves the world," still hear pages turning, "the love of the Father is not in him." It's not dominating his life. He's not finding God faithful, merciful, and truthful. The world is leading him. And remember, Satan is the god of this world. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." Those three temptations are real simple. Going back to Genesis, we saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was a tree to be desired. We just saw in 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Just going in order. Satan wanted Jesus to break down, to bow down, and to bounce down. We saw it was a false and a wrong work to turn the stones into bread. It was a false and wrong worship to worship someone that wasn't God. And it was also a false and a wrong witness to try to be the high priest without God leading you that direction. The first temptation was to turn appetites into aims. We don't live for our appetites. If we're men and we're living for our appetites, whatever it may be, to make money, to get that girl, even to have kids. Jesus said, if you love husband, wife, father, mother, your children more than me, you're not worthy of me. Jesus was saying, I have feelings. Is there anything in this world you love, a gift that God has given you, you love more than Jesus? How do you know if you're doing that? Did you spend more time with it? Do you talk about it? I remember when we used to have wallets with pictures in it. You remember that? Those little things. And you could tell the people, again, it was really proud. They were opening it, and it would go all the way to the floor. It's my grandchildren, it's my children. And they would go through that. Now we have Facebook. We can do it that way. So we're a little bit better with that. But sometimes we are so proud of what we've had, we're not proud of the one who has us. Do we talk more about Jesus, or we talk more about our things, our relationships, our wives, our vacation, our sickness, our illness? Or we're talking about the faithfulness of God. We got to do it the other way. So we don't turn our appetites to aims. We don't turn ambition into position. Again, in the church, it can be ambition. It was a holy ambition, Lord. Not really, because it's not under his subjection. We don't turn ministry also into mastery. Have you heard it this way? If I take those same three temptations, we heard the girls, we don't chase that, the gold or the glory. Marriage, money, and even management can be the same thing. If we're going to chase something, we need to chase the one who's chasing us, and that's Jesus. To say all of this is to bring it to this point. Men of God are made in private. We will have temptations, absolutely. How well you deal with a temptation is how well you can help my life. When we were doing a stack up with the SWAT team, we would have someone going long corridor. When we came into a room, long corridor, making sure nothing's in the room. We also have a guy at the very end looking. He's making sure no one's going to sneak up behind us. We hit a room, and we hit the doors clear, and we know that room was safe. We didn't have to go back into that room. I want us to be like a SWAT team that, again, the way you deal with temptation, you find Jesus faithful. This is how I found Jesus was faithful in this area. This temptation is clear in my life. Sometimes it's not going around certain things, reading certain things, being around certain people. Guys, bleach and water looks the same. Please shoot your hand up if you drink bleach. We don't, do we? Right? We drink water. As men, if we learn to find Jesus faithful in private, we can help other men do the same thing. I want to have men around me that are definitely feel the struggle of the temptation, but finding God faithful, merciful, and truthful. As a little boy, I didn't know what I missed growing up and not having a father. I didn't. After that, my brother-in-law, I don't think I've shared this story. After I got out of Bible college, I get a call from my sister. He's a Marine. And I almost went into Marines. So think of a brother over there, Pastor Antonio. And I did everything. I had good grades. But it was like God was pulling on me for ministry. And I'm in the office getting ready to sign. And I think, oh, it's the Marines or ministry. And I went with ministry. But my brother-in-law was a Marine. He married my sister. And then also before he married my sister, maybe a year before, he knew a girl in our neighborhood I grew up with. They had a baby. And then a year after that, he married my sister. They moved to Hawaii. And now they moved back. Well, he has a child by this other girl. So him and my sister are working through that, kind of a mixed family in that respect. And him and my sister are married. And I just graduated Bible college. I just graduated. And I'm thinking, man, I'm ready to go out in the world. I get a call from my sister, Terry, you need to come home. Bernard killed Regina, that girl, and he killed himself. I'm thinking, really? I get home, and I go see Miss Bassett. That was Bernard's mom. What happened was, him and Regina were talking. He got out of the Marines, not dealing with temptations really well. Started using drugs. And again, a gentleman, he was a man that, he did love God, but he also loved the world. And he was just dealing with, not dealing well with temptation. He told his mom, because he was starting to use drugs, and he said, Mom, Regina's making me mad. And he's dealing with his training. He's going back to what he's training. He said, I'm going to kill Regina. And his mom went, oh, Bernard, stop talking about that. 2 miles from my home, him and Regina were in a car arguing about their child. Again, he's not seeing her or anything along that line. And he just pulls out his weapon, shoots her twice. She gets out of the car and tries to run. He finishes her on the streets of Detroit, puts the gun in his hand and finishes her, finishes himself. So now I got a third time someone I really cared about, someone I really respected and loved, was taken away from me with a weapon. I get home, and now Satan puts a temptation in front of me. Bernard's brother is named Libby. I go visit Miss Bassett, and I get out of the car. I go to her house first because that was her son. As I get out of the car, I'm walking up to Miss Bassett's house. His brother Levy comes up to me, and this is what he tells me. Tell me your response to this, and tell me what you would do. I get out of the car, see Bernard's brother Levy, and he says, Terry, I'm killing Toya tonight, your sister. What would you have done if someone walks up to you, you just got in town, you've been at Bible college, you just graduated, but they greet you because you're going to see their mother, and they greet you, I'm going to kill your sister tonight. What would you do? He just told you, if you let him go, he's going to kill your sister. I need to find out why, right? Or do I drop him right there? I could have dropped him. He'd have been, I'm going to kill. He just dropped. I don't know what happened to him. That wouldn't have been a godly thing to do. But that temptation was there. You don't threaten my sister. Well, in that temptation, what did I do? I prayed. I said, God, I don't know what to do. A man just threatened to take the life of my sister. I can't allow that. I know you have a way out. No temptation is taken, man, but such is common to man. And in that temptation, he will show you a way out. Usually in temptation, we don't pray and ask God to come in. Our car breaks down, we take it to a mechanic. We need an electrician, something's not working in the house, we call that, fix my lights. Water's not working right, call a plumber. Our life breaks down, we don't call Jesus. I pray just a silent prayer there while I'm watching him, making sure he's not getting in the car. And I backed up, I dropped my head, I prayed. I said, Levy, I'm here for your mom because that was her son. I'm here because that was my sister's husband. He says, Terry, I'm still killing your sister tonight. I said, okay. I said, I got to go to the car and get something. Not what you're thinking. Boy from Detroit, right? This was before the SWAT team. That was like, where's the AR when you need it, right? No, I'm just kidding. SWAT team, boys, we need to circle up. We have to go in. None of that was happening. I go back in the house. I got some books from Miss Bassett. And I said, leave me, walk with me. I didn't trust him. Walk with me. I walked into the house and everyone's praying. Miss Bassett's praying. All of her family's praying. And I walk in there and I said, has anyone prayed? And I don't know if they were praying or just... They were praying, but it wasn't trusting God. It was just mourning. And I said, I do it Walden style. Everyone circle up. And I prayed for God's mercy on this situation. Miss Bassett broke down because she finally felt the comfort of God in that situation. She grabbed me immediately after the prayer was done. And there was someone else sobbing and shaking, waiting for their turn to grab me. Who do you think it was? It was Levy. He couldn't wait to grab. He apologized. He grabbed onto me. I held him. I wanted to get him in a headlock, choke him out. There was a whole lot going through my head. But I asked God to meet me in that temptation. God broke that young man down. Guys, the temptations that come in our lives, we didn't ask for them. Men of God are made in private. David was ready for Goliath because of what he was doing in the pastures. I gave you this last week, and I put it on your tables this time. It's not something magical. I've been giving this away at this church over 20 years. There's a couple that came up to me recently, and they said, Terry, you married us 17 years ago, and on our wedding day at Calvary, you married us. You gave us something to get us in God's Word. And this is what it is. If you can open it just really quick. For today is April what? 8th. If you go to April, on the 8th, you have Psalm 98, Proverbs 8, Acts 8, John 8, and Joshua 9 and 10. This is what I go through. I read this in the morning, and I go through this then with my family. My son, who's going to be 13 this month, since he's been 5, he's been going through this with me. Ask me how many times my sons went through the Bible. I don't know. Reading one psalm a day, I go through the book of Psalms twice in a year. Just reading one psalm a day. I go through the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year, the book of Acts. The reason I call it God's pages, if you turn to the front, the Psalms, again, communicates to us about God's comfort in Christ. That's what the first P is for. There's an addition to that. Proverbs communicates to us about God's counsel in Christ. I need comfort. So in the morning, I want to hear God's iTunes. That's what I call the book of Psalms, iTunes. Israel's tunes or internal tunes. So I hear God's tunes to my heart first when I get up. Quiets my heart down. Makes me remember he's faithful, he's merciful, he's truthful. From there I go to the book of Proverbs where I get God's counsel. I need wisdom for the day. I'm a knucklehead by nature. Amen? You know you want to say amen. You are a knucklehead, Terry. It's okay. You are too. We all knuckleheads without God's wisdom in us. Then I go there to the book of Acts where I look at the children of God, the first century Christians that responded to Jesus coming out of the tomb. And I find out how they walked with Jesus, how better I can walk. From there, I go to the Gospels. That's an acronym for pages. Reading one chapter and one Gospel a month, I go through the four Gospels 3 times in a year. I'm not trying to put conviction on you. I'm telling you what I do, but this has made me a man of God more than any other thing. The E stands for the epistles. Well, again, in the Gospels, I see God's compassion in Christ. The epistles communicates to us about God's church in Christ. Paul was masterful, and the epistles teaches the church how to be the church. You know when we read the Bible, I mean, have you ever read anyone's emails? Have you ever went to your next door neighbor and opened up their mail and just looked through it? Hey, you got a bill here. Hey, you got a letter from Cousin Margaret. You know when we read the Bible, that's what we're doing? None of these letters were written to us, were they? Think about it. They were written to different churches. They were written to different people, but we're reading someone else's emails. And because of that, we have the truth of God. The last one, the S, is the scriptures, the Old Testament. And that communicates to us about God's culture in Christ. The thing that's kept me as a man of God through incredible temptations, incredible things, has been the Word of God. I was in a store once, and I had my ID tag on from the Masterpiece, a show that I was with. I toured with it, like I said, about 20 years ago, all over the world. Went to, like I said, 39 countries. We went to the Olympics and the World's Fair by invitation, Cuba, China, Finland, Thailand, Japan, Africa. Every time they would see my passport, I would get stopped. Because like, what are you doing? Romania, Slovakia, just crazy. And I was in the store and this girl came up and she was to die for. Hands down. And she saw my text, says, what do you do? I said, well, she says, do you film? I said, well, I do a little film and I travel with a production company. We just got back from China or something. And I bent down and she put her hand on my leg. She says, can I help you in anything else? And she was very cute. And I just looked at her. I said, honey, you're not woman enough. She was a black girl. Oh, Jesus. She says, listen, let me tell you what I can do. Stop. She was going to tell me how much of a woman she was. I said, honey, let me tell you what woman I'm looking for. I'm looking for a woman of God that prays to God, that's in fellowship with God, that will walk by her man, that will be praying for him, because I'm in ministry. And if you're that woman, we need to go get married right now, because I don't want the icing. I want the whole cake. And I said, what's hesitating you? Why are you not going with me? She's never been turned down. She was gorgeous. And Satan's, you're crazy. And I said, you're hesitating because I told you you're not woman enough for me, not this man. She's never been turned down. When we're faced with temptations, what are we going to do? We need to make sure we have a decision already before we got there. David was spending time in God's word. David was writing God's word in that time when everyone else was facing Goliath. The only way you're going to be successful against temptations, as Jesus was, is because you're in the word of God. Because of this thing I've been doing, I've been giving it out here at Calvary for over 20 years. I've been doing it longer than that. I have the entire Bible outlined. Every chapter, every verse of the Bible outlined. That was my legacy to my children. The entire Bible. I'm not trying to mess with you in that. But reading God's word, it just changed me. It cuts me up. You've seen a man that's lacerated by the word of God. All of our hospital gowns are open in the back. Jesus is the only one that closed it. I guess mine closed every morning. I get in God's word. Father, teach me how to be like you because this area of my life is not reflecting you. God is not letting me down in my need of him. Jesus overcame Satan's temptations because, yes, he was the word of God. But he quoted the word of God and he fellowshiped with God. Men of God are made in private. You got to be a man of God before that temptation comes. It's coming for you to cheat, for you to lie. Whatever it may be, but as men, if you dare to pray, even in that moment, like I shared with Libby, God was there. I had another gentleman, and I'll be good on time. I was serving as a chaplain in the police department. A lady I was talking with, her husband committed suicide and was successful in his attempt 2 years before. But that's not how I came in contact with her. I came in contact with her through this. Her son attempted suicide, and he was successful. I get to the scene. She's there. No one's touching her. Because they said, oh, my gosh, didn't her husband commit suicide like 2 years before and was successful? Over a girl, college student, first year in Durango, Colorado. I walk on the scene, talk with the sergeant, cross the tape line, see the body, couldn't resuscitate. I walk up to her. I said, my name is Terry Willis. I'm a chaplain with the police department. I'm also a pastor. I'm a father, and I'm so sorry. I just opened up my arms, and she fell in my arms. She's covered with vomit. She's covered with blood. I don't care about my clothes. I care about her. I'm talking with her, and I'm going to a soup kitchen in Durango. The soup kitchens in Durango, the best chefs in the world cook there. So, again, you can have filet mignon, all the crab legs you can eat. I took my kids there every time I could. I'm just saying. It was so cool. I'm talking with her. A gentleman comes behind me, and he's honking on the horn. Arianne's driving. It's like, move out the way. You know what was really interesting? This man knew so much about me. He knew so many different names to call me. He just was like, he just knew everything. You're a blankety beep, 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 and a beep, 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 beep. I was like, man, he really knows me well. Sounds like he did, right? Sounds like we were dear friends. He pulls into two parking spaces. I say, sir, I need one of the parking spaces. I'm talking with that lady that I just told you about. And he pulls into the, you know, finally pulls in right. Now he's walking towards me. He's a little huffy. He's walking hard. And I'm like, you don't want to do this. You really don't. I got my badge on me. I got something else on my hip. I'm not saying what it is, but it would stop him. And then I'm a black man with a black belt. So anyway, he's walking towards me really huffy. And he's just upset. And my response could have been to meet him force on force. Or I could make a friend. I had a temptation. What would I do? I prayed, Father, give me wisdom what to do. Why are we saved? Are we saved because God's judgment hit us or it hit Jesus? It hit Jesus. He was upset. And I said, I shared it with Flavie earlier this today. I opened up my arms, think about that lady. And I just opened up my arms like Jesus would. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I was holding you up from parking. I'm sorry that you had to go back and move your car. I'm sorry. He teared up and he started shaking. He said, I'm having the worst day of my life. And he just went on and he fell in my arms. Now I got this guy in my arms, crying on my suit jacket. I'm like, okay. I just grabbed him and held him. That could have went another way, right? And the temptation, such as common to man, but in that temptation, he'll show you a way of escape. The way of escape was to be like Christ. We're saved because God had a forgiveness package for us, right? Do you have a forgiveness package for people? Before they get there, on your knees, do you have a plan of forgiveness for them? Your wife, your children, your sons, your daughters, that stranger, that guy that cuts you off, that person that lies on you, do you have a forgiveness package so you can respond to that temptation well? That's how we do it as men. Before you get there, you have to be ready. Does that make sense? One more thing in closing. I love technical stuff. All right. It doesn't work when you want it. Last scripture to turn to, Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. Amen when you find it. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Bethany means house of dates, and it means a fruit, or better yet, house of afflictions. So Jesus is walking. He's going to walk into a city that's called house of afflictions. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. We know it's Bethany. We know her brother's Lazarus. We know what's going on. Who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Heard his word. The only thing that's going to make you successful in life for Jesus is hearing his word. Over everything else, you're busy. I know you are. But do you have time to hear his word? Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha. Martha means bitterness. Bitter one. She's a little bitter right now, right? She's living up to her name. Bitter one. Bitter one. You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. If you dare to spend time in God's word, dare to hear the words of Jesus, it will never be taken away from you. You will be ready to meet the temptation. It doesn't matter what happens. You will pray. You will be spirit-led. You will be spirit-fed. You will find God merciful. You will find God faithful. And you will find God truthful. You will glorify him. We're called to be prophet, priest, and kings in our household. Those were the three temptations that Satan came at Jesus with. Just like the three things in the Ark of the Covenant. Just like the three people that were anointed in Israel, the prophet, the priest, and the king, they were anointed. He will always try to pull you to say, be my king, not God's king. Be my priest, not God's priest. Be my prophet, not God's prophet. What are you going to do in that temptation? If you don't pray, if you don't read God's word, you will be Satan's king. Satan's prophet and Satan's priest. Who wants to do that? Raise your hand. Not that way. We don't want to be Satan's prophet, priest, and king. We want to be God's prophet, priest, and king, right? Dare to pray. Dare to let God break you down in private. Every man of God has been made in private. David was made in private. Jesus has not hit the public yet, right? In these temptations. He was baptized by John. He identified with our sins, right? That's why he was baptized. Suffer to be so now. It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Come on, cousin John, baptize me. I'm going to go the same route that the people that are following me are going to go. It represents my life. It represents my death. It represents my resurrection. That's what baptism represents. John, come on, do it for me. He baptized him. Right as he came up out of the water, he was anointed to be prophet, to be priest, and be king. And he was tested in those three things. I'm sorry, you're going to be tested in that. What are you going to do? It's what you are in private. If you dare to sit at Jesus' feet, dare to hear his words and not be distracted by Satan or distracted by the world. I get into God's word for my family because I'm a knucklehead by nature. For me to start getting in God's word like I'm doing, it wasn't me, it was God. I know that may be a lot of reading, guys. I get through it probably in 30 to 40 minutes just reading it. If we were to tithe our time of the day, it would be 2.5 hours, right? So how long would it be of our waking hours? 12 hours. About an hour and what? About an hour and a half. You don't have an hour and a half to spend time with God's Word? Enough time not to spend. Amen. If I don't spend time in God's Word, guess what? My hospital gown's open in the back. Guys, I don't want to be behind you. Your hospital gown's open in the back. I'm sorry. I do not want to have that memory in my mind. I have to get the toothpaste out and scrub my eyeballs. I don't want to see that. You're not that cute, okay? But if I dare to get in God's Word, you'll be behind me, and you'll find that my hospital gown is tied because Jesus tied it. Does that make sense? So we're going to look at those three questions. How do we not bow down? Well, first of all, break down. Turn our appetites into aims. How do we make sure? Those three questions. I just want to rephrase it one more time, and I'm going to let you get into it. I'm sorry I went over a little bit. We don't want, again, to bounce down and, again, do what Satan wants us to do in a religious format. We don't want to bow down in a social format and become king of our world. We want to do it by God's hand. The simplest thing to do it is check in with God concerning leading your home, leading your life, and serving Him. Just check in with God first. If you dare to pray first, you will be a prophet, a priest, and a king of your house for God, for His kingdom, the way He wants you to. Does that make sense? A little bit? Okay. Let me pray for you, and we'll break up in groups. Father, we dare to look at your word. Your son is the perfect servant and the perfect son. He was everything you wanted to be, the perfect prophet, priest, and king. When temptation came, he was already prepared for it because of his fellowship with you. Father, we want to know you in private. Out of our communion with you, we want to keep the Great Commission. Out of our great intimacy with you, we want to do ministry. Father, then we need to be intimate with you. We need to know you in private, know your word, sit at your feet, hear your son, and dare to be moved by your spirit, because that when the spirit does speak, we know what your word says. So Lord, change us, make us, reframe us, refocus us, so that we're men of God that bring you glory. We pray all these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Break up in groups.
All right, gentlemen.